right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and now with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are not carnal, and walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Brother Don, could you pray for the message?
Yes, sir. Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning and to get back to church. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we ask that you bless the time that we have and fill Pastor Andrew with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and give us what we need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, with all this craziness that's been going on for the last 10, 12 weeks here, there's one lesson that I've learned, and there's many lessons to be learned. Everyone should be trying to figure out what God's trying to show them, what God's trying to deal with you. But one thing that has stuck out to my, that God's brought to my attention, stuck out to me, is I need to be better prepared. I need to be better prepared. You know, when this stuff happened, everyone started going to the grocery stores, trying to prepare for the worst. Started stocking up on food. All the bread and cereal and milk and toilet paper was gone. Apparently, you can put enough ketchup on toilet paper that it'll go down pretty good. People are stocking up on that stuff like crazy. But people are trying to be prepared. You know, some people are, I don't know, filling up on medicine, preparing, trying to stock up on medications. Some are trying to be prepared monetarily, trying to put some money away. Some people are trying to put away guns and ammo. There's been more guns bought in the last few months than ever in history. It's, you know, fear tactics sell things. But what I've learned is I need to be prepared. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And if you're not ready, it's your own fault. If you're not preparing for what lies ahead, you're setting yourself up for failure. And what I've seen in the Bible, as you read your Bible, you study your Bible, I think Brother Don preached on this before, God is a prepper. God is a doomsday prepper. He's prepared things. You go through and study just that word prepare or preparation. God did all kinds of things. He's prepared. Hell was prepared. According to Matthew 25:41, God said they'll be cast into hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't meant for you. It wasn't meant for a person to go there, but it was prepared for the devil and for his angels. But when a man or a woman rejects Jesus Christ, that they go to a place that was prepared for the devil. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, talking to Christians, talking to us, those that are saved. He's gone to prepare a place for us. In Psalm 9, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment." God's prepared for judgment. He's prepared to come back. He's prepared to make His return. And in Proverbs 19:29, it says, "Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." God's a prepper. God is always preparing for something. When you look in the book of Jonah, it's interesting how many times the word prepared comes up in the book of Jonah. In 1:17, it said God prepared a great fish for Jonah. We know that that whale, according to Matthew, when the Lord said that that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, not just a big fish, that whale was prepared for Jonah. Sometimes God prepares something to get your attention. All right, has COVID-19 got your attention? It's something God's prepared, and it's let loose. What for? I don't know exactly, but are you prepared? Are you prepared for whatever God is throwing our way? In Jonah chapter 4, it said that he, after Jonah preached to Nineveh, remember he went outside the city and he sat and watched. He wanted to see God send fire down and destroy that place, but God didn't. The people got right, and Jonah got upset because he knew God was a gracious God and would forgive him. He was going to forgive his enemies, and he didn't like that. So he built a booth to try to protect himself from the sun, and wanted to be able to see this city burn. But God prepared a gourd to provide shadow for Jonah, and it said that Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Well, he was glad for the gourd. He wasn't glad for the Lord that provided the gourd. So what God did, the next verse, it said that God provided a worm to destroy that gourd because Jonah was unappreciative. He was more happy with what the provision than the one that gave him, the provider. Okay, he was more happy with what God gave him, the blessings of God, than with God himself. And then it said after that that God prepared a vehement east wind. What'd that do? That just turned up the heat on Jonah. It said it got real hot and God was dealing with him. But God preps. He prepares things. Proverbs 30:25, it says, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." All right, we have some instruction in the Bible that we should be prepared. There's meat in the summer, and when some of this stuff started going down, I went to Nick's and prepared my meat for the spring. we got a freezer full of meat and some bread, and we've been eating like kings during this COVID-19. Put all the, you know, the little bit of weight that I did lose during the competition all came back real quick because of the prepping that we did. I was prepared, packing it on for winter. But there's nothing wrong with being prepared. But the problem comes when we're reliant on our preparation. In Proverbs 21:31, it says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle." All right, you prepare for things that you don't know what's coming. You prepare for the battles that face you. You prepare for things that might come your way. But that verse ends by saying, "But safety is of the Lord." You can prepare, you can stock up, you can have as much toilet paper as you can find. Safety is not in what you can get. Safety is not in your preparation. Safety is of the Lord. God's kept most of us safe from this virus these last few months. I praise God for that. We've prepared, we've done things, we've stayed away from having church here in the building because, one, we're not allowed to, but two, also, we did it before we weren't allowed to. Before the governor told us we couldn't, we were trying to protect everyone here, protect everyone's safety. I was sick at the time, other people were sick. So what did? We prepared and tried to prevent that virus from spreading if one of us had it. But that preparation, there's been people that have prepared for that and they've still gotten sick. You know, there's on the job sites, the general contractors prepare for this stuff. They check people's temperatures. They do certain things to try to prevent it coming. But you know what? It still gets into these job sites. You can prepare all you want, but safety is of the Lord. Now, preparation is a good thing. Like Benjamin Franklin said, failing to prepare, or by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. But the problem is, everything I've just mentioned has been carnal things. has been physical things. And it's okay. We need to prepare those things. But Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Part of the problem with Christianity today, with the church, with things that even with ourselves, is that we're looking on the carnal things. We're looking on the temporary things. We're preparing for that. And we're not realizing that we still need to be preparing spiritually. We need to be spiritually prepared for what lies ahead. "I fed you with milk and not with meat." Paul wanted to give them some meat, but they couldn't handle it because they weren't prepared for it. If you're not doing what you can to prepare yourself, you come here and there might be some meat trying to give to you, but if you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to handle it. You have to prepare yourself. Are you prepared? You're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. So Paul's giving them some instruction here that they need to be spiritually prepared. You know, the Bible tells us we need to be prepared to answer people's questions. God could send you someone your way, and that He's given you instruction to be prepared to answer them according to the Word of God, according to His laws, it says. Are you prepared for that? If you're not reading your Bible, how can you be? If you're not studying it, how can you be prepared for those things? What happens, you'll get caught off guard. If you're not prepared to witness, if you're not prepared to minister, you'll miss out on that opportunity because you weren't prepared. Failing to prepare is a dangerous thing. You're preparing to fail. So Paul wants to give them some spiritual stuff here, and you better be prepared for spiritual things. And here, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the judgment seat of Christ. Everything that you prepare for, you better be getting ready for that. You better be ready to meet your God. The Bible said in Amos 4:12, He said, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Well, there's going to come a time that you're going to meet your God. You're going to stand face to face with Him, and you're going to have to answer for everything you've done. Your works will be tried through this fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for your works to be going through the fire? Let's go through these verses till we get here. We'll make it to the judgment seat, but He's going to deal with their carnality. In verse 3, He tells them they're carnal. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" So there's the marks of carnality: division, envying, strife. That's the markings of a carnal Christian. And in Proverbs it says that only by pride cometh contention. So you can throw pride in there as a mark as carnality. I think we're walking living proof that, you know, there's carnal churches around here. We've all gone through envying and strife and divisions the last few years. Whether it was us personally guilty of those things or other parties involved guilty of those things, it's in the church. There's a carnality problem in the church. And Paul's trying to get us to get our focus on what matters, the spiritual things. The spiritual things that are going to add up to what you're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ. All your works tried through that fire. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" So there's that division. That's a big B right there. Whoa. Lord, please protect me. I plead the blood. Amen. All right, so Paul's trying to point out that this contention, there's a division there with camps or cliques. You know, I go with Paul, and then these other people are saying they go with Apollos. And Paul's telling them, it doesn't matter what crowd you run with. We're all one. God's the one that gives the increase. If that's what you are stuck on, is being affiliated with a side or a camp or a clique, you're carnal. You're in a carnal state, and you're stuck. Everything that you're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ will just burn up at that point because of your carnality. "Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave every man." So here's two guys that were pretty popular in their day, Paul and Apollos. And what's Paul have to say about that? The Lord gave every man some ministers. You know, there's some great ministers out there, some great preachers, some great pastors that you have no idea what their name is. They got 10, 15, 5 people in their church. And you know what? God's given them to those people to be ministers. And, you know, okay, they're not affiliated with Ruckman, or they're not affiliated with Hiles, or with whatever camp you want to list. They're not affiliated with that. But God, Paul says there's nothing in that. That's carnal. He said the Lord gave to every man. Everyone's got ministers. God's using a ton of people, whether you know their names or not. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. That's Paul's view of himself. I'm nothing. Either is he that watereth is nothing, but God that giveth the increase. It's all about God. It's all about him. You can't do anything to make something grow. All right. Paul said, I planted the seed. Someone else came and watered it. But it wasn't because I planted. It wasn't because Apollos watered. It was because God gave the increase. God blessed it. God put his hand on it. And if anything good happens at this church, it's because God allowed it to. God gives the increase. It's not because of me. It's not because of Brother Don. It's not because of any of you. It's because God gave the increase. God blessed it. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. All right? We're all part of the body of Christ. We're one. It says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. All right, so let's park there for a minute. That dirty word, labor, goes along with work. Every man, every woman, every child, every person is going to be rewarded according to his own labor. You can't expect someone else to do all the work and you get the benefits from it. He says that, yeah, we're one. We're all working together. But you're not going to be rewarded if you're not working. He told, I believe it was Timothy, that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. It was either Timothy or Thessalonians. I can't remember which one. But Paul said if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Right. If you're not working spiritually, then maybe you shouldn't eat spiritually. Maybe that's why you're in the carnal state you're in, because you haven't been working, you haven't been serving the Lord, and you're starving. And you're worried about carnal things now because the spiritual hasn't been fed. For we are laborers together with God. What a statement there. We're laborers together with God. He doesn't expect you to just go out and do it on your own. He's with you. He's a laborer with you. And he'll bless that work. He'll be there every step of the way with you. He'll walk beside you. He'll sweat with you. He'll cry with you. He'll put his arm around you. You're laborers together with God. When he talks about, he said, come unto me, all you that are burdened, heavy laden. I will give you rest. All right, go to him. He'll help you bear that load, help you take that burden, and make it easier for you. We are laborers together with God. This is an interesting statement here. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. What that does not say is you are God's husbandmen, and it doesn't say you are God's builder. You are the work. All right, the husbandry is the work of the farm. All right, the building is the work of the builder. You're not. He doesn't say that you're the husbandman. You're God's builder. You're what God's trying to do. God's trying to cultivate you. God's trying to build you, so then he can in turn use you. So then you can start building from that, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. All right, Paul's getting ready to tell us, look, it's time to start building, and you're going to take my example. He said, it was given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. That's you. Paul's laid the foundation, and now it's time for you to start building. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And for you to start building, you got to have the right foundation. And Paul said, I've laid the foundation for you. The foundation is Jesus Christ. I know in Matthew 16 it says Christ told Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, so the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But he's not saying, "Thou art Peter, thou art the rock." He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I'm the foundation. I'm the solid rock." If you can look at 1 Corinthians 10. You don't have to turn there. Let's see if I can find this. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "And all did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock," capital R, "that followed them, and that rock was Christ." He's the foundation. So you have the right foundation to start building on. If you have a bad foundation, it doesn't matter how great you build on that foundation, the thing's going to fall down. It talks about that when a wise man buildeth his house upon a rock, but the foolish man buildeth upon the sand. All right, the rock is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Paul's telling you, here it is. I've given you the foundation. Here's Jesus Christ. Here's the doctrine. This is what you're going to start building on. And he says, now for you, he said, "I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Well, that's what you need to think about today. Take heed of how you're building on that foundation. All right, really think about what are your works? What are you building upon that foundation of Jesus Christ? "Now, if any man build on this foundation gold," that's good, "silver," that's good, "precious stones" are good, "wood, hay, stubble." Well, you know, a lot of times you use wood while you're building a house or you're building a building. You know, the hay and the stubble they would use for the roof and stuff. But here, that stuff is going to go through a fire and it's going to burn up. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." So that your work's going to be made manifest. It's going to be brought to light. It's going to be shown. It's going to be clearly seen. And it's going to go through some fire. It says, "For the day shall declare it." Well, what's that day? Well, that day right there is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the second advent. That's the judgment seat is the day here. "The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." You know what fire does? For one, it'll give light. All right? It'll light, you know, give you some light and some darkness that you can see. But here, it's going to make manifest. It's going to show. It's going to reveal whether your works were good, whether they were glorifying God, whether they were gold, silver, precious stones, or whether they were wood, hay, and stubble. Whether they were for your own benefit, for your own pleasure. That stuff, that's wood, hay, and stubble, and that stuff is going to burn. And when it's all said and done, you'll have nothing left. "Because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So I don't care if you're not serving God and you say, you know, "I'm not going to serve Him." That's still works. That's you're making a stack of sticks there, a stack of hay, like the bales of hay that were all over the road here recently by our house. The guy down the street from us, he baled a bunch of hay and he's taking it down the road somewhere, a couple miles down the road, and we coming down right by our house. There's a big pile of hay in the middle of the road. Well, he didn't strap it down, it just fell over. So he took his tractor and pushed it to the side, just dumped it into the woods because it fell apart. And then you go a couple miles down the road on the actual road, and there's two more bales that fell over. That hay is just going to burn up. That's what you're doing. You're just baling hay right now because you're carnal. All your works, you're worried about what's going on here and now. You're worried about the money that you got in your bank. And you're worried about the food that's in the freezer. And am I going to make it? Am I going to have enough to get through this COVID-19 stuff? You're too worried about the carnal and have no focus at all on the spiritual. The spiritual, that's what the gold, silver, and precious stones, that'll make it through. "If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." All right, that's you'll be rewarded for those things, for doing right, for doing what you're supposed to do. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." All right, so you won't lose your salvation, but you're going to have nothing left but have a pile of ashes to cast at the Savior's feet. I mean, if someone came to me right now and just threw ashes at my feet, I'd be like, "Man, I got my nice shoes on finally. I got my suit on. You're going to throw that on?" You know, if someone came throwing gold, silver, and precious stones, the offering plate's right down there, by the way. You know, I'd be a little bit happier for that. you know, the Lord, we're building. Okay, here's a silly illustration, but right now every one of you is on a lifelong shopping spree at Lowe's. All right, everyone's at Lowe's, everyone's got a cart, and everyone's gathering materials for a building that they're supposed to build in eternity. All right, and what you throw in your cart is up to you. Whether you're going to throw in the gold, the silver, the precious stones that'll make it through the fire, or if you're just throwing sticks and hay and stubble in there because it's easier, it's lighter. There's not as much burden doing it the way I want to do it. There's not as much burden serving self instead of serving the Lord. You are on a lifelong shopping spree at Lowe's. The type of materials that you will be building with is dependent on what you put in your cart today. What are you putting in the cart? What are your works? Are they wood, hay, and stubble? That's just going to burn up? Or is it gold, silver, and precious stone? You got to be prepared for this. I mean, you are going to stand before God, and you're going to need to be prepared for that time that you're going to have to answer to Him, or all your works will be made manifest. Are you prepared? I had to go to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. I had a dream the other morning about this service today, about having church outside. And, I mean, it was a nightmare because I dreamt that I was ill-prepared. I'm serious. I'm not just preaching here. I'm telling the truth. Right? I had a dream that we were getting ready, and then, I mean, this place was packed, that a bunch of people that usually don't come to church here were pulling in, and I was scrambling trying to get everyone corralled back here for the service, and people were inside, and I'm worried about the cops coming because we got people inside, and then I didn't charge up the speaker, so how was I going to do the music, and then this and that, and I mean, I was running around like crazy because I was ill-prepared. I seriously had that dream the other day. I don't want that to be reality. I don't want that to be me at the judgment seat of Christ when I'm standing before God unprepared. I want to be prepared with some gold, silver, and precious stones that'll make it through that fire. Here in 1 Chronicles 22, we're going to, with that in mind, with the thought of I'm getting materials to build something in eternity. I'm trying to get some stuff together that'll make it through the fire. Because it's up to me to do this building. God said that we're fellow laborers with Him. We're co-laborers, we're co-workers, right? But with that in mind, we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 22, that David wanted to build a house for God. Now, remember, God wouldn't allow David to do it because he was a bloody man, he was a man of war, but He told him that Solomon would be the one to build the temple. And David wasn't allowed to build it, but that didn't prevent him from gathering a bunch of materials to get all this stuff together so Solomon could build it. All right, and what we see here in 1 Chronicles 22 is David preparing for the building of the temple. Just like we're to be preparing to build at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, first I want to point out verse 5. It said, David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. You know what you need to be doing? You better be preparing abundantly before your death, before the rapture. You better be putting that stuff together. You better make that shopping spree worth it. What was that? Wasn't there a game show back in the day? Supermarket Sweep, right? They would go through and throw a bunch of stuff in the basket. Well, that's what our life is right now. We're loading up this basket, loading up that shopping cart, but what we do is we think carnally, and we're loading up with, well, I want to go, you know, to the lake today and go fishing. I want to go to the beach and go get a suntan. I want to do this instead of what can I do for the Lord today? What, you know, we've got carnal things on our mind instead of spiritual. And David said he was preparing for it. He was now therefore going to make preparation for this temple. And that's what your life is a preparation of building something. Building something at the judgment seat of Christ. The first thing I want you to see is that David, he prepared abundantly there in verse 5. But then we're just going to step back a little bit in chapter 21. Remember, this is the end of David's life. David just got in some trouble with the Lord in chapter 21. God told him not to number Israel. And in chapter 21, verse 1, it said Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He's tempted. And he fails. He goes against the word of God. He does what he wanted to do. He went by his own pride, his own desires, and he numbered Israel, even though Joab told him not to. He told, look, that's not a good thing. God does, and he did it anyway. He was warned, and that's like us being in church. The preacher warns you over and over and over, and you read it in the word of God. God tells you, don't do this, don't do that, and we still do it anyway. You know, that's human nature. But what David does to fix that, to the start of preparation, is verse 26. David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Preparation is going to start at the altar. Preparation is going to start with you getting things right between you and God. Getting that sin confessed. Getting that under the blood so you can clear that slate and start fresh. You can do that today. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." It's going to start at the altar. It's going to be starting with you examining yourself, examining your life, going, "What am I putting in the cart? What materials am I gathering together? Is it gold, silver, and precious stones? Or is it stuff, wood, hay, and stubble? The stuff that's just going to burn up. And is what I'm collecting right now, is it going to make it through the fire?" And that starts by you examining yourself on the altar. A place where something goes to die. Something that goes to be offered unto God. We're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We need to start on the altar. We're going to go through these verses a little bit, and we'll see that David started gathering some materials to build this temple. And we'll liken it to things that we're supposed to be doing. Verse 2, David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. All right, so David started preparing by getting stones together. And not just stones. You know what's wrong? You know what? Stones are, they're heavier than sticks. They're sturdier than sticks. It's going to be harder to get these stones, precious stones. And it wasn't just, hey, let's go get these rocks. It said they had to hew them. Wrought stones. That's something that had been worked. Something that had been carved on. Something that was going to be nice and perfect so he could build this temple. And there's some hard things that you're going to have to do to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And what's hard for me might not be hard for you. And what's easy for me might be hard for you. But whatever it is, you know what the Lord's telling you to do. You know the service. You know the work that God has for you. I'm not saying that every person is supposed to be a preacher. Not every person is supposed to be a Sunday school teacher. Or an evangelist or a missionary. But every person is to do something for God. God saved you to serve Him. You've got to work. And that might just be coming and being faithful in church. That's a work. That's not easy for some people. Some people it's hard to come and sit. Some people it's easy. You know, that's just what we do. Done it all my life, but you know, it is what it is. Other people it's hard. You know, it's hard because you got hurt in that church. Or you got hurt in other churches. It might be hard because maybe God called you to preach. And it's hard to sit when God's called you to preach. It's tough. You know, you go to some meetings and stuff sometimes, and you're like, oh, I just want to hear some preaching. And then you hear the first guy preach, you're like, man, I want to preach, you know, just because you get that thing just starts turning inside of you. So David starts preparing here, and he said that he wrought stones to build the house of God. Verse 3, and David prepared iron in abundance for nails for the doors and of the gates and of the joinings. Iron. Well, iron is not a very valuable metal. It's not a very pretty metal, like gold or silver. But it's a very needful metal. Look what he said. What they need the iron for in abundance, for the nails, for the doors or the gates, and for the joinings. You can have all kinds of material, but if you don't have some nails, it's going to fall apart. The nails, that iron, that stuff that David is gathering in abundance, that's just the little things that hold everything together. There's some things that you need to be faithful in, some nails in your Christian walk, in your life. Nails like Bible reading, nails like church attendance, nails like prayer. They're just nails. It just holds everything together. Without it, you can't even start to build. You don't have the nails. And it's going to take a lot. It takes a lot. I know Dad was replacing some nails in the pier, and he bought 500 screws to replace the nails. And it wasn't nearly enough. He needed probably 1,000 more to get that thing done. What's that just show you? It's a lot of little things that hold it all together. You need to just be faithful in doing those little things over and over. Brother Peacock's got a great sermon about little things, and about, he gives that illustration of that plane that went down, I think in Chicago back in the 80s, and they couldn't figure out why this plane went down, that the engine ended up ripping off that thing. But when they did the research, it all boiled down to how they were mounting the engine back on the wing. They were using a forklift. And what that did, it's caused some friction on this one pin that held things together. What it was designed to do was to be strapped and lifted up, but because they wanted to do faster, they could be more productive, they could get it done quicker by doing it this way, it caused a lot of friction. And it ended up shearing that pin and causing this plane to crash. And it's just a little thing. And you get the little things messed up, it can be disastrous with the big things. You got to have an abundance of the iron. And he says here that he also got brass in abundance without weight. The brass wasn't as valuable as gold and silver. But the brass, you know, they use brass for the altar, for the pillars, stuff that held things up. They just wrapped those pillars in that. They for that brazen sea that was up on the ceiling. It was needful. He got it in abundance. Also cedar trees in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. The cedar trees, you know what you see with those is that you wouldn't know what wood was in there. You wouldn't even know there was wood in that temple. What they did, they covered it all with the gold. They overlaid it. And the cedar trees, that's just an unseen thing. And there's a lot of things in your Christian life that are just going to go unseen. But when you get up to the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be wrapped in gold, wrapped in silver. It's just covered with gold. Starting in verse 5, we'll see another thing David prepared for. He did this not for himself. You know, he wanted to build that temple, but he did it for Solomon. So Solomon could have a head start on this thing. So he was being a help to his son. And what I see here is through verses 5 through 16, we're seeing he's prepared a heritage for his son Solomon. And that's something that we should all be preparing, a heritage, a testimony for our children, for our neighbors, for our friends and family, for our co-workers. They should see us gathering this abundance of gold and silver and precious stones, an abundance of iron and brass. He said, David said to Solomon, David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. We should be charging our kids, hey, you see me gathering all this stuff, it's because I'm going to be building something. It's because you need to be building something. It's a testimony. David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from the enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. What David's trying to help him prepare for that. You need to be helping your kids prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. Be prepared spiritually. Not just, you know, it's, you need to be financially prepared for things. You need to be prepared if, you know, something bad happens. But you need to be prepared spiritually too. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will bless his father. I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. God's laid it out in his word. All you got to do is do it. Hear the word, do the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For it is an abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared that thou mayest add thereto. That's interesting there. He got all this stuff together for his son Solomon so he could build. But Solomon had to keep building, had to keep gathering some stuff too. It wasn't going to be enough just with that. So it's not just enough for what you do with your kids and what you leave to them, their heritage. They're going to have to add to it. They're going to have their own testimony, their own walk with God. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, silver, and brass, and iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Be doing. Get to work. Start building. Go to chapter 29. We'll look at a few more verses here. David gathered all this material for Solomon so we could start building this temple. And David's going to... I just find it interesting. Here, he's going to start telling them, and he's telling all the congregation they're about to build this temple. Verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might. That's how you should be preparing. You should be giving the Lord everything you got. You should, with all your might, you should love him with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, everything you've got. You should be preparing for the judgment seat of Christ, for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver, the things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Sounds like the judgment seat of Christ, doesn't it? Moreover, because I set my affection to the house of my God. You know why you don't build for the Lord? You know why you're not worried about the judgment seat of Christ? Your affections are on other things. Your affections are on things down here. That's why the Bible tells us to set your affection on things above. To get ready for that. Your heart needs to be in eternal things. Not in temporary things. Not in carnal things. Not worldly things. I have found my, verse 3, I have my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above that which I prepared for the holy house. So David not just gathered it from other places, he gave of his own what he had. Even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, silver, things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Good question. We'll read it again, because this question is for all of us. It's for you right now. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Are you willing? Are you willing to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm in this thing for you. I'm tired of living it for the way I want to live it, for my own desires, my wants, what makes me happy. I'm here to please you. I want to make you happy, God. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and the hundreds, and the rulers of the kings were offered willingly. It's a willing, you have to be willing to do this. God's not going to make anyone serve him. He saved you. He's given you liberty. He's given you freedom. And now it's up to you what you're going to do with that. Are you going to serve him willingly, or are you going to serve self willingly? God gave the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents of the brass, 18,000 talents, 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. So all these people just started giving willingly. David gave them a charge. He said, all right, who's willing to do it? And they said, I'll do it. I got some precious stones I want to give. I want to serve God. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So there you see, there's joy in serving the Lord. You'll never know true joy until you give your heart to Jesus Christ and give your service to him. And you see that it'll make you happy. You'll rejoice. But it also makes God rejoice. David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You want to make God happy? Do what he told you to do. Do it willingly. That's why he says God loves a cheerful giver. He's not forcing you to do it. He's not holding you down, taking your wallet from you. He just wants you to do it willingly because you love him. Because he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, shed his blood for you. How much do you love him? Well, you show it with your works. You show it with what you give. And I'm not talking about money in the plate. I'm talking about with your time, with your effort, with your affections. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. So God's looking for you to serve him and to give to him willingly. Now, you're working on building something for eternity. All right, look at Luke 14. This will be the last place we go. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. We are every day working on gathering materials for something we are building in eternity, where we will be rewarded with what we do, with how our works, when they're made manifest, whether they be good, whether they be evil, what sort they are, will come out at the judgment seat of Christ. And with that in mind, let's read verse 26 of Luke chapter 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower? All right, we're building something, right? We're collecting materials to build something in eternity. For which of you intending to build a tower? Just a pause right there for a second. Whether you are intending or not, you are building. You might say, you know what, I'm not serving God. I'm saved. That's good enough for me. I got my fire insurance. Well, guess what? You are still gathering materials. You are still putting that together, because we're all going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of our works will be made manifest. So whether you intend to down here or not, you're doing it. You're gathering something. Which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? There's a good question. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, are you going to have sufficient to finish it? Or are you just going to have a little bit? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, foundation's already laid, Paul did that for us, the foundation is Jesus Christ, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." All right, you're working on building something for eternity. Whether you want to or not, you're gathering these materials. Are you going to have enough to finish it? Well, here it says if you don't, that the people here mock him, saying, "Man began to build and was not able to finish." See, the lost world knows you're saved. Most of them do. Some of we got some Secret Service Christians out there that the world doesn't know anyone's saved. But for the most part, you've got a testimony. And when they see you slip up, when they see you mess up, when they see that he's got wood, hay, and stubble about to go through that fire, they begin to mock, saying, "This man began to build. He started out as a good Christian. Yeah, he used to witness to me. She used to try to invite me to church. This man began to build, was not able to finish. He's not doing it now. What happened?" By failing to prepare, you're failing, or you're preparing to fail. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Are you preparing for the judgment seat of Christ? Are you prepared to meet thy God and stand before him and have your works go through that fire of the judgment seat of Christ? It starts at the altar, and then you can go on from there to start to gather together those gold, silver, precious stones that'll make it through that fire. Let's pray.